morning already, haven't you? Getting this breakfast ready and then re-establishing the room so it looks like something like a church. No, you wouldn't want to look like a church, really, I know that. But it's great to be here. I hope you can hear me. My voice isn't really up to scratch. I've got this cough that a lot of people have got that won't go away. So forgive me if I'm not quite as loud as normal. Perhaps you'll be grateful I'm not quite as loud as normal. But it's great to be here. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are a God who is a God who works and a God who invites us to be your fellow laborers. What a privilege to work with God for the building of his kingdom. And we praise you and thank you and ask that you would help us all now to understand that and then to live it in the power of your Spirit. Amen. One of the political parties claimed to be the party for working people. Well, they did at one time. And I want to say that we have a God who is a God for working people. But working people includes those who have retired, those who don't actually get paid for their work, those of us who've got to the stage where we can't do much any longer, because God is for us all, but God is a God who is a God who works. And because God is a God who works, everything we do can be holy. And not only is God a God who works, we have a Saviour who was a blue-collar worker. He was a carpenter. Probably for 15 or more years, Jesus would pick up hammers. He would sweep up chippings from his father's workshop. He would carry things. He would make things with his hands. We have a God who is for working people, and we have a Saviour who was a worker. And so God hallows, blesses, makes holy the most ordinary things we can do. Cleaning toilets is holy work for God. Shopping can be holy for God. Can be, I say, because it needn't be. It's who we are and the way we do it that makes the difference. I thought we'd begin with a few pictures. What does that suggest to you? Thinking. Absolutely right. Actually, he's got a very fine body too. I wouldn't mind a body with all those muscles, but it's a very old sculpture which is there to remind us that thinking is part of work. See if I can get this to work. Ah. Who painted that? No idea. No, that Da Vinci, I think somebody said that's correct. And what's she known as? The smiling Mona Lisa. But look a bit closer. Don't just look at the woman. She's wearing clothes. Somebody made the clothes. Her hair has been beautifully cut and prepared. Somebody cut her hair. If you look to the left of her shoulder, you can see a little rope pathway, can't you? Somebody made that pathway. Yes, I've chosen this to remind us that people are at the heart of work and that painting is a kind of work. But I want you to notice all the other things. She's actually sitting on a chair like you. And a carpenter made that chair. There's more in that picture than you might first think. Who painted that? Banksy. Bang up to date. Well, pretty much. I love this because it's really funny, isn't it, that he's stolen the Olympic ring. Because of course you can't do that, but he was protesting about something. He normally was. But I think that's marvellous. But it reminds us that sport And all the business that goes around sport and all the finance that goes into sport is also work. Let's not think of work too narrowly. It can involve thinking, doing, it can involve sport and even being mischievous, like Banksy. So there are many things that work can include. Ah! Recognize anybody? And the point about this is that all of you, even if you're not on that picture, all of you, all of us, are made by God. We are His workmanship. God is the great worker. And I chose this because I wanted us to know that we are His craftsmanship. And I'd like you to look in that mirror. You can't actually do it, but I want you, when you go home, to look in the mirror and see yourself and remind yourself that God made you. Hopefully you won't all see that, but that's the kind of thing I see when I look in the mirror. This last week, I think it was this week, I lost track of time, a painting by Picasso was sold for £104 million. That's a lot of money. £104 million. I think it was only about a metre or so square, wasn't it? Not much paint was used, not much canvas, not worth very much. You just think of it in terms of paint and canvas. But worth £104 million because Picasso painted it. Now, you might look at yourself and think, well, I'm not worth very much. Some of us look in the mirror and think we used to look better than we do now. And then we do our hair and we think, well, I'm a bit better than I was. Or you put your makeup on and you think the same, don't you? But the point is, our value is inestimable. Not because of what we're made of, but because God made us. And the Bible talks about us being made in God's image. Without Picasso's signature, that wouldn't have been worth much. But God has put His signature on each of us. And each of us is of infinite worth. We are His workmanship. So God is the worker. God made the universe, He made everything in our world, God made everything well, God made us, and it's that which gives us our value, our dignity, our respect, and also our purpose. But I want to read another verse which I think echoes this creation story and takes it forward. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, it's page 1174. It's a great passage. Paul talks about us being brought from the dead in our trespasses and sins back into new life. And that God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. It talks about being saved by grace. It's a great passage. And then it ends like this because it says, "For we are God's workmanship." He's made us. Page 1174, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Well, let's just think about that for a minute. Not only have we been made by God with His own signature, made in His own image, we've been remade by Jesus. And that doubles our value because God has said, not only are you my creation, I'm rescuing you. I love you so much, I'm paying for you again. I give my son as your ransom. I'm going to bring you back to new life as human beings, remake you. It doubles our value that we are Christians and not just part of God's creation. And He's made us for good works. Now you might think that means nice art and craft and things like that. Well, it can do. For a long time, I used to think those good works were the good things I was supposed to do, like caring for the sick or helping my mother or looking after my granny and doing all those sorts of things. But I've come to see, especially as I've thought about it once again, that those good works are all the things that God ever made human beings to do. It's about pots and pans, about the ordinary things. They also can be good works that we do for God. Our ordinary everyday life, our work, is what God has made us for. If you read through that wonderful story of Genesis 1 to 3, you find out that God makes things with a purpose. He does it in an orderly way. And then when he's made them, he enjoys what he's made. He said, this is good. This is, when he made us, he said, this is very, very good. Then God rests from his work, and then he involves us in his work. And the Bible is telling us that work is something good. Yes, God said, rest from it. But he worked 6 days and rested one. It isn't that it's only what we do on Sundays that is good. It's only not only what we do on Sundays or even, as it were, for God, telling people about Jesus, inviting them to come to our church. Not only those things which are good works, everything we do can become a good work. And work is good because God planned it for us. It's part of who we're made for. It's good for us to do it because, like God, when we do things and do them well, even if it's just the dusting, it gives us satisfaction. It gives us fulfillment because that's what we're made for. But work is good also because it helps other people. It's service. It benefits them. So it's good in all kinds of ways. But talking about work as the front line suggests something else about it. Because where's the front line? It's where you've got two opposing armies, isn't it, facing one another, where the conflict is going to happen. Or it's the front line between those who are on strike and those who are trying to get through. It's the battleground. Work, this is telling us, is where God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom can interact. And so we must expect that where we work, there will be conflict and challenge, especially for us as Christian people. But that conflict and challenge is not because there's something wrong with work. God's the worker. God's given us work to do. But because Satan has spoilt things. And that Genesis chapter 3 tells us how Adam and Eve turned away from all the good things that God had given and tried to do things their own way. And then there's conflict between Cain and Abel, and it goes on and on all through the Bible that wherever there is work, there is conflict. So where we work will bring us conflict and challenge. And that's a very different kind. Sometimes the conflict is with the things. My son was trying to construct a wooden frame yesterday. And he was doing mortise and tenon joints, for those of you who are carpenters. And he'd done them very well. And he just put this frame together, clamping it, ready to glue it. And the wind blew so strong, it blew over and snapped one of his mortise and tenon joints. Very frustrating when things like that happen. He was struggling with the materials he was using. The world God has given us is so full of potential. We can do amazing things with it. Think about these computers and the pictures we've seen this morning. Amazing. Think about the car you came in, or even the shoes you walked on, created by material that God has given us. But there's always a tension. Sometimes it goes wrong. Sometimes it won't do what we want it to do. Sometimes the sculptor is working away and a piece chips off and he's got to start again. Sometimes we have struggles with the materials we use. Then sometimes there are challenging conflicts with the processes. Work isn't always easy. Sometimes, you know, the machinery breaks down. Something interrupts it, and it spoils it. And sometimes the products are where the conflict is. I think I'd personally find it very hard to feel it was a good thing to be working in an armaments factory. There are some things I'd find very difficult, or making cigarettes. I'd find that very difficult because the outcome is something I'm not sure I feel God would approve of. But perhaps the most difficult aspect of work is people. It would be so much easier to be the minister of a Baptist church if I didn't have any people in it. I could only fall out with me. Can you echo that, Doug? On the other hand, it would be pointless. So there's the conflict and the challenge. But people can be awkward. I know you'll find this almost impossible to believe, but I can be. Don't ask my wife. You'll never get home. But we can all be awkward. Sometimes it's because we're just different personalities. We are all made differently, and we don't always seem to fit perfectly. But we are people that God has made, and he wants us to work together because he's prepared us for good works. Now, when did God prepare us for good works? Well, let's go back to that Genesis passage we heard. Because this is what it actually said. God blessed them and said to them, here's the first piece of work, be fruitful and multiply. So in carrying that baby, you are working for God. And somebody put in that work for each of us, or we wouldn't be here. But he goes on to say, fill the earth and subdue it. That's another piece of work we're supposed to do. God has given us the earth as a huge resource, and we're meant to use it creatively to do the things that he wants us to do. So every job. Thank you. That's very kind. Thank you. Shall I swallow the glass or the water? So that's the second huge piece of work. Every time anybody's making anything or doing anything with our world or photographing it or whatever, writing a poem about it or creating a piece of music, they're subduing it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the earth. We have been given a responsibility to care for the world because God wants us to do it. So God prepared us for these things, and it explains it differently in chapter 2. So whether we're cleaning or looking after our baby or our parents or someone else, whether we're creating something artistically or musically, we're working for God. If we're working in a garage or machining or making music, or organizing people to be effective, that's all work for God. If we're involved in helping people, giving them a lift, opening a door so they can go through, picking up something they've dropped, it's all work for God, it's helping people. If we're involved in healing, whether that's through prayer or the NHS, that's working for God. If we're welcoming people, hosting them like you have this morning for breakfast, that's working for God. If we're gardening or shopping or washing up, it's working for God. If we're listening to someone else, so you may not have realized this, but you're all working very hard because you're listening to me, I hope. Or if we're talking or watching, they're all aspects of our work for God because they're all included in that blessed instruction from God that we are to fill the earth and subdue it and to rule over it. Everything on that list and lots more that you can think about can be working for God. Anything which requires our energy, our thought, and some kind of discipline is work. You have been created by God
in Christ Jesus for good works. And what I want you to notice before I leave this passage is work was God's blessing. God blessed them and said, do this, 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 and this. It wasn't his curse. Sometimes it becomes that. But that's not what God wanted. God wants our work, whether it's paid work or voluntary work, work for ourselves or work for others, work for pleasure or work for pay. He wants us to know it can be his gift, his blessing. So what makes it good work? Well, as that hymn we sang reminded us, there's something only each of us can do because we're all unique. And if we don't do it, it won't get done. But I think what makes it good are some of these other things too, that it's about service, helping other people, that we do it with integrity, not just for ourselves, not just to gain approval, not to do anything even if it's wrong, but we do that which is right. And it costs us something. I think it's good if it benefits others, if it's reliable and I also think it's good if it's properly rewarded, because that's part of God's plan as well. That makes it good. But it's good because it builds us up mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So all of these things, in all of these ways, can be the good works that God wants us to carry out. So just to summarize, you and I, all of us, have been made by God, and we are his creation. And when he saw us and when he sees us, he says, I like you. You're very good. As I look on you, you make me happy. We are God's creation. Isn't that a wonderful thought, that when he looks at us, he says, I'm pleased. You make me happy. And I'd like you this afternoon to think back when you're relaxing what it is that when God sees you makes him happy. Maybe it's your sense of humor. Maybe it's your courage in coping with pain. Maybe it's that you're thinking about other people. What is it that makes God happy? Because as he looks at each of us, he says, he, she, very good. I'm pleased with you. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Yes, he did. And that's why we're here. We have time to reflect and to think about it, because that's also part of being ready to work well. But it's not just the holy day that is about good work. Everything we do is about good work. But work isn't the end, because he did rest and he did enjoy. And there comes a time when we should also look back at what we've done yesterday, last week, through a lifetime, and think, that was good. Not all of it. Some of it was a challenge. Some of it was conflict. But I'm glad I could do that. And I offer it even now back to God, whether it's carrying a child, caring for children, going out to work when it's cold and windy and wet and doing a good job, whatever it is, we can offer it to God today as part of our worship. What we do every day, not just on Sundays, is what it means to do good works for God that he's prepared beforehand. And in doing them, we're copying God, God who is the workman, and we're following Jesus, who was for so many years a carpenter who did good things. I'm sure you remember the words of Jesus when he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy. Actually, that's more accurately translated, for my yoke is comfortable. And as a carpenter, Jesus would have made yokes for oxen to wear. And he would have smoothed them down and he would have fitted them to each animal. He knew what it was to be a carpenter, to do good works, not only when he died on a cross, but when he made yokes to make the job of the farmer and the animals that much easier. Offer to God everything you have done, everything you are, and everything you will do, because all of it can be God's front line, doing good works that glorify God.